On January 26, 1837, Michigan was admitted as the 26th state to the Union. The Michigan Historical Museum is celebrating our state's 177th birthday, with its annual Michigan Statehood Day planned for tomorrow. The celebration is also centered around the 70th anniversary of D-Day, and there will be activities and guest speakers to commemorate the legendary World War II invasion. Joining us now to tell us more, Eric Perkins, a historian at the museum. Hi, Eric.
Good morning.
And we're also pleased to welcome one of the guest speakers, Ernst Floter. Ernst is a Grand Ledge photographer who was at Normandy June 6, 1944, on the German side. He was later captured and was a prisoner of war here in the United States. Welcome, Ernst.
Welcome, thank you.
Eric, tomorrow, the 177th anniversary of Michigan statehood at the Historical Museum. You're also honoring the 70th anniversary of D-Day. It sounds like you have a lot planned.
Yes, we do. Yeah, it's... Well, we've started giving themes to Statehood Day. Last year we did the War of 1812. This year it's World War II and D-Day, the 70th anniversary. And it really are a lot of things planned. It tends to be a really big family event at the museum. Admission is free thanks to Jackson National Life. And we've got a lot of activities for kids going on, learning about code breaking during the war and aeronautics. And airplanes. We have talking about paratroopers and a parachute drop they can participate in. And also we'll have costumed reenactors, living historians to show the gear and the uniforms and things. And well, of course, we have our veterans coming, some from Tuskegee Airmen Museum and Ernst and some others.
Very interesting. Sounds like a lot planned. And Ernst Floter of Grand Ledge, Michigan, you are one of those guest speakers tomorrow. I understand today is an anniversary for you as well. Tell us about that.
Well, this morning, last night, we arrived in New York 57 years ago, coming by airplane from Hamburg. And this morning, we found out that we have a sponsor in East Lansing, the All Saints Episcopal Church. So today we spend the day on Grand Central Station, and at night we started our journey towards Michigan by railway, and it was the same train schedule that I took as a prisoner of war in 1944 on the 12th of June.
January 24th, 1957, you arrived in East Lansing.
In East Lansing. We were sponsored by the church, and they were fantastically.
And you were at Normandy.
I was not direct on the beach, but I was about in the middle by the town of Saint-Sauveur, and it was the regimental headquarters there. And we had no idea what was going on Omaha Beach. My impression was it's like a maneuver for the Allies coming into Europe, and we had no idea what this bloodbath on Omaha Beach.
How old were you?
18.
And what was your role in the Army?
I was radio man.
Radio man, yeah. Okay. And so you were how far from the actual invasion?
I was far away. We heard the day before we heard some shooting in the distance there, but otherwise it was pretty quiet. And then that night when they told us, every night we had to watch the sky for additional 2 hours and looking out for paratroops.
Okay.
And that night they said, no watch tonight, and tonight they don't come. And then they came. Mm-hmm. And we were happy finally the waiting was over.
What was the collective mood of you and your fellow German soldiers prior to the actual invasion then?
Well, you never talked about anything, nothing political. You kept your mouth shut, because if you say a wrong word to a wrong guy, that was bad. So we never knew, and we had our little exercise every day too. But otherwise, it was pretty quiet. We had to lay lines. Before D-Day, I was a telephone man. We had to lay telephone lines all over the area there.
Okay.
And then on the sixth of June, we had to go out and cut all these lines, get ready for retreat.
Well, did you? Okay, so were you confident that you could, assuming the Allies would invade, were you confident that you could withstand that invasion, or did you feel really vulnerable?
Well, I wanted to become a prisoner, go to America. That was my wish.
It was your desire to be vulnerable.
From 1939 on, when my father convinced me that Germany will not win the war, I made that silent wish. If I have to become soldiers, I want to fight against the British, get caught to get to Canada. That was my wish. And everything else from then day on was all what happened in my life, bad things, sickness, whatever. Was all to this point to come as a prisoner of war to America. And heaven thanks, I was not caught by the British.
Okay, why so?
Well, the British, they were, I'm American, they were not my enemies. They were my friends. Enemies were the Nazis.
Okay.
And so I didn't want any of the British. I spent later on 4 days in England under the British. That was just enough.
But your wish was granted.
You were
taken prisoner.
I was prisoner, and everything came true. So if you have a wish in your life and you believe it, comes true.
we'll learn more about what happened after you were taken prisoner here in just a minute. Eric, back to you. What do we know about Michigan's role in World War II more broadly? I mean, I think a lot of people in Michigan are aware of the role, the fact that the Detroit auto factories played in manufacturing.
Sure.
But what else? How else would you describe Michigan's role in World War II?
Well, I think the manufacturing, obviously it's well known. You know, we think about automatically of the auto factories and things like that converting their production. But what people don't realize is that effort was statewide. And it sucked in small towns as well as Detroit. I think of there's a little shop on Main Street in Yale, Michigan, which is a little town up north of the pier. And they had a little store there on their little Main Street. It was a jewelry store, and it was a jewelry and optometrist, watch repair, things like that. They converted that storefront to make precision machine bolts for bomber engines. And so there were all these smaller stories out there, Chris Craft making pleasure boats. Converted their production to make landing craft. So they made all different size landing craft. And obviously, you know, a lot of times in Lansing, you know, we're landlocked, we don't think about the shipping that was made. Defoe Company in Bay City made a lot of ships and things like that. So it was a much wider effort, although 70% of Michigan's productive capacity was, you know, centered around Detroit.
It is interesting how this all played out in around the state. There's a little house not far from where I grew up in Ovid, and I remember driving by this house one day with my dad, and he pointed out that we used to have plane spotters in mid-Michigan on the lookout for the Luftwaffe in Ovid, Michigan.
Yes, and Sault Ste. Marie.
Yeah, as well.
Protecting the locks was a huge thing.
Oh, I see. Strategically, of course. Yeah. Ernst, let's talk again about your capture. It happened not long after you didn't have long to wait.
No, 12 days after D-Day.
12
days. I was liberated.
You view it as liberation.
Yeah.
How did that happen, though?
It was fantastic. It was a highlight in my life. we were a big group of 68 officers. And we were marching, probably already caught up in the northern part of the Continental Peninsula. And then that noon, we were still, my commander was Major Sylvester von Salden. He was a regiment commander from 1057th Regiment. And he gave us the order, take cover. And in Normandy, they have these hedgerows. And there was like hedgerows all around us, and I bunked down under an apple tree, ate of my rations, and at night somebody pushed me. The Amish are here. The Amish Americans. So I crawled over to the hedgerow right on that side, and then we waited there. And the Americans, they surrounded us, they shot over us, they hollered at us. It was a circus. It was fantastic. Unbelievable. And then one of the German officers called out, stand up and shoot. but somebody pulled out his handkerchief or his towel and started to wave. And now out that corner came the first GI out. I dropped all my stuff, heaven thanks. No more rifle drills. That was my first idea.
You ended up in POW camps here in the United States then for nearly 2 years.
For 2 years.
Where were you?
We're in Fort Custer, Michigan, Camp Allen, Illinois, Camp Grant, Illinois, Fort Bliss, Texas, and then Hatch in New Mexico for 15 months. And then my last camp was Fort Eustis, was a school for democracy. Only anti-Nazis went to this camp, but I think about 24,000 German prisoners of war went to this camp. It was a 60 course in democracy. We had every morning, we congregate in a big auditorium, and the German professors told us in German about something about America. So then after 6 days, we were let in the classrooms, and we had to fill the hand. Then they asked us questions. Why did Germany lost the war? Will Germany ever will have an army again? All those questions. Mm-hmm. So we had to answer those within a minute. And then we gave the script to somebody there, and next morning we congregated on a big square, and they called out the names, and my name too, so we made it.
And what else did you do as a prisoner of war, though? I understand you picked cotton in New Mexico.
I worked in Illinois, I worked in a corn cannery. Near Eureka, where President Reagan went to school. That was my camp.
Near where President Reagan went to school, right.
Okay. And then from there, we came to Camp Grant and worked in the potato harvest for the Curtis Candy Company. And there we asked our guards what will happen with us. And they told us horrible stories about cotton picking, how hot it is, how hard it is.
So you ended up picking cotton.
Ended up, we had a beautiful 3 days ride on the train from Illinois to El Paso. It was a beautiful train ride. And when I came to San Antonio, I said, I would like to live here.
How did you feel about, how did you look forward to the rest of your life during those years as a POW?
Well,
were you confident, generally confident about your future?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I had a good feeling. We all want to go back home. But then I lost all my home when it became Polish, my hometown. So finally, in July 1946, I was reunited with my parents.
And you ended up obviously back in the United States.
From 46 to 57.
So
it was
11
years.
11 years.
11 years to make that dream come true to come back here.
How about that?
East Berlin for 7 years, and on my wedding day I snuck out of East Berlin and got married in West Berlin and became legal citizen of West Germany.
Eric, let's talk a little bit more about what's happening tomorrow at the Michigan State Historical Museum, mm-hmm. celebrating Statehood Day. You'll also have the Michigan Constitution pulled out and on display. Tell us about that.
Yes, you can. When folks come, they can see the first state constitution on display, and we actually have what's kind of neat. We have the tin tube it was in. They had it in a little bit of a tube, and it was there, so you can see that and the original document out on display. We will also feature the fragment, the only one remaining, of the Brady flag, which was considered by some to be the first state flag, and mm-hmm. it was a flag for a Detroit militia group called the Brady Guard in the mid-1830s, in the statehood period. They eventually became the Detroit Light Guard in Detroit, so, mm-hmm. yeah.
Ernst, have you ever revisited Normandy? Did you ever go back?
No, I always wanted to. I never went there. I got a picture here. That was when I came to Omaha Beach. I saw this.
Did you take this picture?
No, I didn't, but I got a big book. It was written by somebody. Washington, and there's this picture inside. And there I was as a prisoner of war.
Okay.
On that beach.
I've noticed you're very good with dates. Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. I got everything written down, too.
You've got everything
yeah,
written down?
Yeah, but okay. still.
And how was it you ended up settling here in the Lansing area?
Well, we were sponsored by the church in East Lansing, Saints, and we had no church. That was in general, a journey in the blue yonder. And you come here. I had the Bergen country in my hand for an Episcopal minister on Long Island City in New York. And okay. I wrote back, I don't want to go to New York, and New York is not America. I want to come to Michigan, Illinois.
Michigan,
that was my
America.
Wish, and it came true.
And how has this place treated you? How do you feel about the Midwest as opposed to other parts of the United States?
I had no complaint. I was a happy prisoner of war here. We had a much better life than as a German soldier.
You have a family?
I have a family. I got a wife and three children.
And you are a photographer, I
understand. I was a photographer. I'm still in business, too, but not much to do right now.
How do you feel about today's Germany, Ernst?
Oh, well, I took in September my three kids to Germany. I'm the last of the Mohicans of my family. I have nobody else. But my wife has two sisters and kids. So we visit them all in West for 2 weeks. We visit them in North Germany, and then we went to Poland and showed my kids where I grew up in Stettin, northeast of Berlin. And then we went farther east where my wife came from.
Mm. You left Germany before the Berlin Wall went up.
Oh, yeah.
What did the elimination of the wall mean to you?
Well, it was unbelievable. I always thought the wall will never come down. But I think the whole thing started with Lech Walesa, with the solidarity movement. That it changed. But still, it was so much established, that wall in Berlin, that we said the wall never come down in our lifetime.
Well, it's fascinating to hear your account. And once again, Ernst Floeder, former German POW who was held in American prisoner of war camps during World War II, will be a featured speaker tomorrow at the State Historical Museum. It is all a part of a look back at the 70th anniversary of D-Day, which is a part of Michigan Statehood Day tomorrow at the Michigan Historical Museum. Eric Perkins is the military curator at the museum. Eric, thank you. And once again, thanks to Ernst Floeder.
You're very welcome.
Best of luck.